minutes. After I arrived and began my tenure, a cap was established and brought in line with the other employee groups. The reason the board cap is currently higher than some other groups is not because of misconduct, favoritism, or purse string control. It's because board member benefits have received three COLAs, COLA percent increases in the last 16 years, while employee groups have received many more COLA opportunities over the years. Those employee groups overwhelmingly choose to apply their COLA increases to their salary rather than benefit caps. Our board does not have a salary, so therefore the COLA would go to their benefit cap. The difference in bargaining priorities over time is what produced the current gap. No secret decisions or self-serving manipulation has happened. All increases have been publicly voted on at board meetings. Legality and ethics. There is nothing illegal or immoral about board members receiving health benefits. Many school districts, including our county office board across California, provide board benefits, and this is not unique to our district. The narrative that our board members ran for office only to get health insurance is speculation, and this rhetoric is repeated by the same anonymous group over and over, and it does not represent any verifiable factual information. Allegations of self-motivation and lack of accountability. The accusations that the board has been self-motivated, loyal only to themselves, or supporting the superintendent to protect their benefits are broad statements, again, with no evidence presented. The district remains committed to transparency, but repeated circulation of inflammatory claims, especially without documentation or evidence, does not help anyone resolve any real concerns. Paraprofessional hours and benefits. Regarding paraprofessionals, 1 second. The paraprofessional job in our district are mostly 5-hour positions and not full-time positions. Historically, these positions were 3 hours, but the district increased those to 5 hours using COVID relief funding. And more importantly, the district has not reduced those hours since, even though the funds ended. Many paraprofessionals choose these hours because they value being part-time and they have time off to be with their children when they are out of school. While we understand that some staff may want additional hours, which we do provide through our after-school program, not many take us up on that opportunity. Additionally, Wheatland's paraprofessionals are paid competitively to other districts, and the district continues working to maintain competitive salaries. Bottom line, board member benefits are long-standing, capped, and consistent with practices utilized by numerous school districts throughout the state. Assertions that these benefits are a result of corruption, self-dealing, or improper motive are unsupported by any factual evidence. The benefits at issue were established well before the tenure of the current board members and therefore cannot be attributed to their actions or intent. Opposition to these benefits has been raised periodically over many years by the same group of individuals. While differing opinions may exist regarding the appropriateness of such benefits, the existence of a disagreement does not render the practice improper, unlawful, or unethical. Likewise, paraprofessionals were expanded and maintained as a district investment in our employees and our students, not reduced, not withheld for any improper reasons. The district will continue to prioritize transparency, fiscal responsibility, and fair treatment of the employee groups. Classified contracts. The letter states, sorry, I'm only about halfway done. So. Classified contracts. The letter states that there is a clause in the contracts that allows them to turn down health benefits for cash in lieu monies that, if they were part-time. The clause was added for a specific few: Bogdanoff, Crabb, Clark, and several others. The two with board member spouses turned down their benefits in favor of going on their spouse's board benefits. The third is a family member of the superintendent. Not true. Both Bogdanoff and Crabb have publicly confirmed they do this, yet their maintenance employee spouses maintain full-time year-round positions. District's response. The classified contract includes language allowing eligible employees to decline district health benefits in exchange for cash in lieu payments. This provision was not created for any specific individuals. It was agreed on through proper collective bargaining and negotiation process, just like other contract terms. In fact, many of our employee groups across the district have negotiated some form of in lieu language in their agreements. This is a common and legitimate benefit option for employees who do not need district-provided insurance for any reason, including those who may have coverage through a spouse or another source. With the exception of our certificated union, all employee groups have some sort of in lieu language in place. Cash in lieu does not create an additional cost for the district. It simply changes how benefit dollars are distributed, either toward insurance coverage to an insurance company or a negotiated payment to the employee when coverage is declined. Claiming this language was put into place for a small group of individuals is inaccurate. Trying to frame it the way it misrepresents the negotiation process and unfairly targets employees who are using this benefit option that is allowed under contract. Waltz. Letter states, Waltz, she only ran for the board for health benefits. As soon as she is eligible for Medicare at 65, she will not seek re-election. In her place, her son will run. He is the husband of the district nurse who had that job created for her by her board member mother-in-law when their daughter was diagnosed with diabetes. No one at any of the school sites gets better medical attention than her kid and the kids that are her friends. Meanwhile, staff are behind on TB records. Her health aides do not like her, and she's skipping daily IEP mandated nurse care in favor of not missing lunch with her kid. Staff at Lone Tree have stated that they do not like having her at the site because she is rude, snide, and lazy. To be honest, all of the school sites are happy when she is not there on their site. Her salary is outrageous for a person in her position and unnecessary in a district our size. District response. The claims being made here are not supported by any facts. You hear that over and over, right? They are going far beyond reasonable criticism into personal attacks and speculation. Stating that board member Waltz only ran for health benefits is a false assumption. No one can credibly claim to know anybody's motive except their own for running for any office unless the person has personally stated why they are running. Otherwise, it's just speculation with no factual basis. You obviously do not know board member Waltz because she does this job for the betterment of the students and this community that she has lived in here most of her life. And she supports our school district at all events. Second, the suggestion that her son is taking her place will run is also speculative. Board seats are not even open yet. And until a candidate files, anything about who is running is nothing but guesswork. However, I would say that if he does run and is elected by this community, he would be a great addition to this already amazing board. Regarding the district nurse position, districts our size do, in fact, need a district nurse. The nurse's salary is not outrageous or unusual. It is comparable to similar professional roles such as our OT and our psychologist, and consistent with other district nurses that are paid through other districts. The comments about her child receiving better medical attention than other students, or that staff are behind on TB updates, health aides do not like her, she is rude, lazy, or skipping IEP meetings are all subjective and inflammatory statements and lack any evidence. If there is a legitimate concern about any compliance issues, IEP services, records, or staffing, those should be addressed through formal channels with documentation, not through just gossip, insults, and attacks on someone's character. Secondly, and most importantly, bringing a child into a conversation that and making comparisons about that child's medical condition is highly inappropriate and should never be used as ammunition in adult disagreements. People can disagree on policies and leadership, but spreading personal accusations and unverified claims about staff and board members is not productive and does not support students in the district. Lastly, attacking somebody and their job because of a disagreement that may have happened on the softball field is petty and juvenile. Just my opinion. McDonald. When McDonald was hired by her father, it was temporary and he used a loophole to make the position full-time and simply give it to her. It was never posted. No one else was allowed to interview for it. He hired her when her only experience was working at Yankee Candle. District response. The claim that Ms. McDonald has been given a full-time job through a loophole that was never posted and that no one else was allowed to interview is being stated as fact, but it is not supported by what actually occurred. Ms. McDonald has been a district employee for over 10 years. She initially came in as a sub to the district office in a receptionist position because this district fully believes in answering parents' phone calls and not allowing a machine to answer and redirect people. Her previous job experience was customer service, which directly aligns with front office receptionist duties. Over time, as retirements occurred and responsibility shifted, she moved into accounts payable. When she transitioned from substitute status into a permanent position, I was not involved in that process. The decision was made through an administrative leadership group, including our HR person at the time, Paula Kesterson, the administrative assistant at the time, Connie Walczak, and board member Nikki Crabb oversaw the priority. Additionally, when Melissa Bowles, who was accounts payable person at the time, was on maternity leave, Ms. McDonald stepped up and took on a role along with her front office responsibilities. So naturally, when the position became available, she was a natural fit since she had been doing the job as a sub for Mrs. Bowles for quite a long time. When we often promote from within instead of going through a posting process, this is not an unusual thing for us, and it is very appropriate way of handling things. The only reason this position was available was because Melissa Bowles was moved into payroll upon a retirement. When we did this as well without opening the payroll position, staff shifted based on the needs, and your accusations that Ms. McDonald was treated differently are not founded by any facts whatsoever. I do believe it's fair for people to ask questions about our hiring processes and targeting specific employees personally, especially in exaggerated and misleading claims, crosses the line. Ms. McDonald has done nothing wrong. By all accounts, she has been a strong, reliable employee who has supported the district and its families for 10 years. Nothing has been said about her for the past 10 years. Is she my daughter? Yes, she is. And I am damn proud of her and the job she does for this district. Stop going after her to get to me. Grow up, it's getting old and it's unnecessary. Guzman's. Sorry, guys. Every single rumor that you have heard about these two is true. That man has no place being even keeping his credentials after what he did as principal at Lone Tree, let alone being allowed to keep his teaching position and rise back up to administrative level job. He might not be part of the financial dishonesty and shady practices, but he has benefited all the same and runs student discipline in a similar fashion, notably disappearing his own daughter's referrals for bullying while throwing the book at her classmates for lesser infractions. we don't trust either of them. My response. Statements like every single rumor you have heard about them is true are not facts. They are inflammatory accusations, again, with no documentation provided. Repeating rumors as if they are proven truth is irresponsible and unfair, especially when it involves someone's career, credentials, and reputation. These concerns about the Guzmans by this group have been previously addressed in public. Continuing to recycle the same claims without any new evidence serves no constructive purpose other than to attack the individuals personally. The allegation that student discipline is handled unfairly, including claims about referrals disappearing for one student while others are treated more harshly, is a serious accusation backed by no facts. If anyone truly believes something like this is happening, the appropriate action is to report it through the formal channels and allow it to be reviewed properly, not to spread it as gossip online or in public conversations. Personally, I went to our student data, and the student they are referring to has a referral still in there from kindergarten. Nothing has been taken out. At the end of the day, whether a small group of critics trust anyone is not the measure of their professional standing. My administrative team, this board, the staff, and me as the superintendent continue to trust and support both of these employees, and they are regarded within the district as stellar administrators with the best interests of students, staff, and the district at the forefront. Again, using children of adults to try to make your claim is unacceptable, unethical, and immoral, in my opinion. Former CBO. Letter states, former CBO, she had a contract for 60% to work from home, yet she lived in Florida full time, while a consulting firm was paid generously to do her job. She was hired the same way the super's daughter was hired, without experience and on a temporary basis until he made her job permanent and with a promotion. District response. The claims being made about the former CBO are not accurate and not based on any facts provided. Also, I have no idea why this is even relevant given she is no longer employed in the district. But here, let me give you the facts. There was never a contract allowing 60% work from home. If you believe there is one, produce it, because I would have had to sign it and I would know. If anybody believes that there was something that, I'm sorry, I already said that, then the appropriate step is to produce it. Otherwise, it is just unsupported allegation and a personal attack. Mrs. Minton did not live in Florida while employed here. Ms. Minton lived locally when she was hired, first in Plumas Lake, then she moved on to her ex-husband's property. After that, she moved into a rental in Yuba City near Terra Buena School, and later lived with a friend in a converted garage. She moved to Florida only after she resigned from her position here. Owning a home in Florida is not the same as living there. Yes, she owns a home because her mother and her daughters lived there. But again, she did not live there while being employed in this district. If people want to discuss district operations or staffing decisions, that's fair. But repeating claims that are false, working from home contract, living in Florida full-time during employment, undermines the credibility and turns the conversation into rumor-spreading attacks rather than facts. This entire letter states no facts whatsoever and only uses rumor spreading attacks. Now we get to me. Again. Gensler, there is something wrong about his contract, and it does not add up to the pay listed publicly on Transparent California, because it's such a great website, or what he has self-reported on public records requests. We have sought the opinion of other CBOs, superintendents, and payroll techs who can't make sense of the numbers. feel sorry for who they work for. Former HR director has confirmed that he has many perks in his contract, as well as many more that have never been written instead in, like stipends for not refilling the preschool director, stipend for maintenance director, stipend for food service director positions, stipends for grants awarded to the district. His master's degree stipend is higher than the principals and teachers that, and the teachers receive. He receives funds into a 403B, they wrote 493B, but a 403B 457 retirement account. Other employees have to pay that for themselves. And his STIRS is fully funded by the district, while all other employees have to fund their portion on their own. A detailed review of his annual pay is needed. District response. The accusations being made regarding my contract and compensation are not supported by any facts and, in fact, are false and inaccurate. First, as all of you know, my contract is publicly posted on our district website and has been approved in public by the board. There are no hidden things in my contract, as it as is being claimed. If someone believes there is an issue, the contract is available for anybody to read and review directly. Second, the idea I have received undocumented perks or special treatment is also inaccurate. I did speak with our past HR person after reading this letter, Paula Kesterson, who said she indicated she has never talked to anyone or saying that she spoke about anything regarding my salary or any perks. She says this is just another fabrication. Here are the facts. Preschool director stipend raise. When the preschool position established back in 2010-11, the position cost the district over $100,000 a year. When the employee separated from the district, I took over the leadership of the preschool program to save the district money. The board at the time approved a $25,000 increase to my salary in order for me to manage the preschool program. That resulted in a savings of more than $75,000 per year to the preschool budget. Food service and maintenance director duties. When our food service and maintenance directors both retired, I absorbed both sets of duties and did not receive any additional pay or stipends. This decision continues to save the district over $200,000 annually. The claim that the district funds a 403B or 457 retirement account for me is completely false. The district does not provide me with a 403B or 457 account. If I contribute to any such plan, I do it with my own money, just like other employees. Finally, the claim that the district pays my entire STIRS contribution is also not factual. STIRS and PERS contributions are made through standard shared structure, with contributions from the employee, the district, and the state. The employer pays 9.10% of credible earnings to STIRS. The employee pays 10.25% of credible earnings to STIRS. The state pays 10.828% of credible earnings to STIRS. So yes, I pay 100% of my STIRS contribution obligation out of my paycheck monthly, the same as everyone else. My check stubs can prove this. This year, I paid over $30,000 of my own money into STIRS. If anyone has documentation that contradicts any of this, you should bring it forward. But continuing to circulate claims that don't match the contract or the payroll realities is not a detailed review. It is an ongoing attempt to discredit me through misinformation and lies. Please provide proof or stop making false accusations. It's getting tiresome. New superintendent. A new district superintendent should hopefully provide opportunities to right the wrongs and set this district in a more positive direction, both financially and in its overall atmosphere. The teachers have been so used to getting whatever they ask for in negotiations, due to the superintendent's Me Too clause, that they have fallen out of touch of how bad things are financially. That man has been allowed by this board to bankrupt this district and retire. If actions aren't taken quickly, there won't be time to hold him accountable. What a sad state of affairs for our children and our community. District response. The statement that I have been allowed to bankrupt the district and will simply retire without accountability is, again, not based on any facts. It is an opinion framed as truth, but it is flat out false. The district is not bankrupt and continues to be reliant on state and federal funds like all districts. The district's reserves are still well above the average of other districts our size. All districts in the state have financial ups and downs because the state has financial ups and downs. That will never change no matter who is in charge. As for our students, they do not go without in this district, which is something we should all be very proud of. I have been held accountable the entire 16 years I have been employed in this district, including through board oversight, public budget processes, audits, and the same scrutiny every superintendent faces every day. Repeating accusations without evidence does not make them true. It does not help move the district forward. It just shows your ignorance on how the subject of school funding works. I have served this district for 16 years and have done so with honor, integrity, and selflessness. Most employees and community members recognize the work that I, along with this amazing administrative team right here, community members, and this board have put into supporting our students, our staff, and our community, even when decisions were very difficult or unpopular. It is fair for anyone to hope that a new superintendent brings positive momentum and improvements financially and culturally. I hope so too. But the progress will not come from your continued blaming, exaggerating, and spreading false narratives about the outgoing superintendent or other employees or board members. It will come from honest conversations, responsible planning, and a shared commitment to doing what is best for students. What is truly sad is a small group of people continue to push misinformation, personal attacks, and pushing false narratives when the majority of our employees and our community members understand the dedication and service that I, the administrative team, and the board has given to this district. FICMAT, YCOE Superintendent. Letter states, have you considered involving FICMAT? We took our concerns to them, but they can only act at the request of a board member or an employee. The YCOE Superintendent can also request their presence. But with a child at Bear River, he most certainly will not do so during an election year. District response. FICMAT is absolutely something that can be considered when there are concerns about district's financial health and practices. But it is also important to be accurate about how and when they can become involved. It is true that FICMAT typically becomes involved at the request of the governing board, County Office of Education, or district leadership, and they generally do not step in solely because an anonymous community member complains. FICMAT is also a for-profit organization that charges a fairly large fee to do exactly what our auditor and our county office does all year long when it comes to our finances. That said, it is important to recognize that the district already has several layers of oversight. The district undergoes annual independent audits, and there have been no negative audits or significant audit findings raising any concerns for the 16 years I have been here. The County Office of Education reviews and monitors district budgets, and they are specifically tasked with making sure districts remain fiscally solvent and nothing improper is occurring. Those two facts matter because they reflect that the district is not operating without review or accountability. As for the comments about the YCOE superintendent suggesting he would refuse to request STCMAT involvement because he has a child at Bear River or because it's an election year and politics is nothing but speculation and again, not supported by facts. If there were legitimate concerns that warranted action, it is reasonable to believe he would take a serious look regarding these personal circumstances. Obviously, you do not know Superintendent Greger, as he would never look the other way in order to have favors with the district his student attends or some political reason. He is a man with high morals, high integrity, and he does his job well. The letter states at the end to the CBO, we appreciate you, we see you, we know it's bad. We know how hard your job is right now, and we are so blessed to have you here. District's response. The ending message is completely inappropriate. It attempts to use the CBO to legitimize a narrative that relies on false accusations and mischaracterizations regarding district leadership. Phrases like, we see you, and we know it's bad, are not expressions of support. They are an effort to manipulate and influence staff. The approach is rejected by me. Our focus remains on performing our duties professionally and in the best interest of our district. It is also important to recognize and respect the new CBO's role. Her job is to operate professionally, ethically, and transparently, not to be treated as anyone's ally or weapon in a conflict or disagreement. If she were ever to identify something illegal, unethical, or improper, then absolutely she would and will bring that forward through the correct channels. But messages like this blur the line between support, manipulation, and pressure. Lastly, anonymous letter signed a collective of current and former employees. District's response. I'm almost done, promise. Signing something as a collective or and current former employees without any names attached makes it very difficult to take anything you say seriously. If the concerns are legitimate, specific, and backed by facts, then the people raising them should be willing to stand behind those accusations, especially when the letter includes serious allegations about employees, leadership, and operations. Anonymous claims invite doubt, fuel rumor, and make it impossible to verify credibility and intent. I find it somewhat funny, but not surprising, that this anonymous group asks questions in their correspondence, but we have no idea who to send the answers to. I am sure that is by design, to be able to say you asked something and we did not respond. If individuals truly want accountability and some sort of change, the appropriate path is to bring your concerns forward through the proper channels with documentation and identified sources, not anonymous accusations that have no basis except to slander and try to discredit people that work hard for this district and have worked hard for this district for many, many years. In closing, I will be retiring June 30th, and it is my sincere hope that these false and unfounded statements will come to an end as soon as I leave. So whoever follows me in this role can begin with a fresh start without having to navigate misinformation and ongoing negativity directed toward me and others in the district. While I am certainly frustrated by the continued spread of this inaccurate claims, I do not wish to respond in a way that escalates the situation or diminishes the professionalism I have always had and tried to uphold. Instead, I will simply say this. My door is always open. My door has always been open throughout my 16 years here. If anyone would like to have an honest, respectful, and productive conversation, I welcome the opportunity to meet and talk. If not, there is little chance I can change. There is little I can do to change the minds that are not open to the facts. I am extremely proud of the time I have served this district And to my knowledge, I am the longest standing superintendent in district history. Superintendents do not remain in one